Well, good morning, everybody. It's really wonderful to see you here back at Hamilton Road Baptist Church. And if it's your first time here since lockdown, it's really great to have you join with us for our morning worship. And for all of you who are joining us online, it's great to have you tuning in as well. Our service today is going to revolve around the extravagant forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who know that for ourselves, we hope that you glory in that today. And possibly even for the first time, some will come to experience that forgiveness for themselves. As we come to have the Campbell sing to us, I'm going to read out Psalm 103 as our call to worship. And the words are on the screen behind me as well. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Thanks, William and Amanda.
Well, good morning, folks. It's great to see you all. It's lovely to be here. This, as Keith has just said, our theme of our service this morning is forgiveness. The first line of the song is, "I'm forgiven because you were forsaken." Then we get into the chorus. It says, "Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me?" We were bought at a price, and that is a wonderful promise that we have, that he loves us, that he cares for us, and that he forgives us.
Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. Now it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. You are my king. You are my king. Jesus, my king would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. Now it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all we do, we honor.
Well, it's great that we can be reminded of the forgiveness of Jesus this morning. And I just want to say a huge thanks to all of you who have continued to give during this period of lockdown. And we aren't going to be having a physical offering during our service, but if you would like to give to the Lord, you can do that on your way out at the door. And for any of you who are watching online, you can do that at hamilton road baptist.com/give as well, as we give to the Lord's work here at Hamilton Road and across the world. Just as a quick reminder, at 7 p.m. this evening, we are continuing our online series on the Sermon in the Mount, Kingdom Living the Way of Jesus. And I wonder, do you want to see God? Well, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And here's a little clip from this evening's service.
Yet he did not sin. You and I who sin every day in our words, our thoughts, in our actions, Jesus, who lived on this earth for 33 years, never sinned. He was impeccable. He lived a totally perfect life. And then we're given this invitation then, as sinners, as those who need his grace and his mercy. He says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence because of his perfect life, because of his perfect death, because of his resurrection over sin and death, so that we, what will we receive tonight? We might receive mercy and find grace to help us, because you tonight may consider the impurity that is reigning in your heart and your mind, and you need mercy and you need grace. Run to Christ tonight. Flee to Christ. He's the only refuge in this struggle for purity. He's a merciful and he's a faithful high priest.
It's wonderful to know that we have such a great, merciful high priest. And we do hope our online teaching this evening will really strengthen you in your faith and encourage you in the great truths of God's word. That's 7 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube, or you can catch up during the week at any other time. And don't worry, if you haven't seen any of the previous teaching, you can tune in this evening and you'll be able to catch up there. Jennifer Jenkins is now going to come and read God's word to us from Matthew chapter 9 as we look at the incredible forgiveness of Jesus. And then after Jennifer reads to us, we're going to see a children's talk by Rachel Davis, who is the leader of our juniors. And it's great to have her share for the boys and girls. Thanks, Jennifer.
Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, or just say, you're not involved.
boys and girls. I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning to talk to you about the word forgiveness. Now, I'm sure you have all heard of that word before, but actually putting it into practice can be very tricky. I want you to think back to maybe when you were in school. Was there ever a time when somebody that sat at your table took things out of your pencil case that didn't belong to them and they didn't ask? Or what about at home? Have you ever been really enjoying your favourite packet of sweets, and when you went away and came back, somebody else in your house had eaten those sweets without asking you? I wonder how that made you feel. Or what about you? If you were really honest, was there a time when you were unkind to one of your friends? Or maybe even to your grown-ups? Maybe they asked you to do something at home and you were maybe a little bit unkind or a little bit cheeky back. These bad things that we do, that we think or that we say, are called sin. And the Bible tells us that we all have sin in our lives, even the grown-ups. But the Bible also talks about this word forgiveness. And in the Bible we read that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven for all these wrong things that we do. Now maybe you've had to go and say sorry to somebody for the wrong things you've done, and you would like to hope that they would forgive you. But what about if somebody comes to you and says sorry? Do you find it easy to forgive them? Sometimes we have anger inside, and we maybe even hold a grudge and we think, oh, I'm always going to remember that thing they did to me, and it makes you cross. But actually, the Bible says that when we forgive, that we should have a peace inside, that that thing is gone now from our heads, and that we are able to move on and be happy again, and that angry feeling should be gone. Now I'm just going to show you a little example of that to help us. Here I've got a sponge and some paint and then some water in the basin. I want you to imagine that this sponge is us, okay? That the paint is the sin, is the wrong things that we do, that we think or we say. So I'm going to put some of this blue paint onto the sponge, okay? So we've got this sin inside of us, all these wrong things that we do. And I'm now going to pretend that putting it in the water is like me saying sorry to Jesus. So when we say sorry, the Bible tells us that we are then forgiven. That doesn't mean that God will remember all those things and have that grudge against us. It means that actually he forgives us completely and is really happy and still loves us, even though we have got that sin. So when I do that, my sponge becomes clean again. So that just reminds us that the sin that was in our lives, when we say sorry, we are completely forgiven. Now, in the story that we're going to hear about later on, we see just how important forgiveness is to Jesus. And in this passage, we read about a man who was paralyzed. That means that he couldn't walk. And his friends knew that Jesus had the power to heal. But the really interesting thing is, when Jesus sees this man, he doesn't heal him straight away. The first thing Jesus says to him is, your sins are forgiven. And then he goes on to heal him. He then says, get up and walk. And the man is able to get up and walk, which is a miracle. But the order that Jesus did these things just shows us how important he sees forgiveness and how important he sees having to deal with the sin in our lives. Now, we're encouraged lots in the Bible to forgive other people, and we see lots of times that Jesus forgave others for the wrong things they had done. So I really want to challenge you to try so hard to be forgiving, to not hold that grudge and not be angry. We're just going to say a little prayer to ask God to help us with that. So let's close our eyes. Dear God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you sent your son to die for us so that we could be forgiven. We're sorry for all the wrong things that we do. And we just ask, Lord, that you will help us to be more forgiving. Help us to forgive our friends and our family when they come and say sorry to us. And help us too, Lord, to always remember to say sorry when we know we have done things that we shouldn't. Help us to be more forgiving, just like you forgave us. Amen.
Amen. Well, a real challenge to the boys and girls and to all of us about forgiveness. And one of the great things during lockdown is to see all the different people who have been doing our children's talks for us. And I really want to say thank you to everybody who has taken part in doing our children's talks and taking part in all of his services as well. Aaron Davis, who is one of the deacons in the church and the leader of our men's work, is going to come and pray for us. And then after Aaron prays, we're going to see a song that was produced during lockdown called 10,000 Reasons. And a person that says, "You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing." Thanks, Aaron.
Good morning, everyone. Let's just bow our heads and eyes as we pray to God. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks for the return of your day. Thank you, Lord, that we can spend the day, Lord, worshiping together with our heavenly family in your home this morning. We just want to thank you, Lord, for just your splendor, your sovereignty. We just want to thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and your kindness to us, Father. And Lord, as we gather together this morning, Lord, we just gather in all, Lord, for those wonderful attributes that we have. We just thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord, to us. And we thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us, Lord, in these weeks and months that have gone past us that have been challenged, have been uncertain, and have been fearful, Lord. But we thank you that you can bring all these worries and concerns to you, Lord. Father, this morning we want to confess, Lord, that maybe, Lord, that we do spend too much of our own time in worry, too much time in fear, Lord, not bringing these concerns that we have to you, Lord. We're sorry, Lord, for not fully depending on you whenever the times are hard. And we just ask you, Lord, that you will just help us to fully rely on you and to know that we do have these things in your hands. We just bow, Lord, that you will ask that you continue to lead us in this crisis, in this pandemic, Lord. We know that all things work together for those who love the Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you will just help us to just trust you in this time. And Lord, we just want to say our thanks to you as well, Lord, for all the goodness and many bountiful gifts, Lord, that you have given to us, Lord, as well. We thank you, Lord, for our church family, Lord. We thank you for the support that they are to us, Lord, at this time, day by day, telephone calls, garden visits, Lord, or even walks. And we just thank you, Lord, for the connection and community that we have, Lord, in our family here in the church. We thank you, Father, for the online resources that continue to be produced for us, Lord. We thank you for how helpful they are and the blessing that they are to us, Lord. We just ask you, Father, that you will continue to give strength, to give guidance, to give words for yourself, Lord, as those who are involved in such resources, Lord, will faithfully, Lord, as they prepare what you have happened to say. We pray, Lord, for our church families here that we will humble them at this time and that we will break the way this time. We just ask you, Lord, that you will just restore them in strength and body and the way this will. Father, to spend time with your family and friends, Lord, that they will be with Christ. But Lord, that they'll hear from you, and Lord, that they will be keen and re-energized as they return to serve you, Father. We just continue to pray for our families and our friends, Lord, for their safety at this time. We just ask that you will keep them safe and continue to bless them. We thank you, Lord,
C.S. Lewis famously once said, "Everyone thinks forgiveness is a wonderful idea until you have someone to forgive." I wonder if you're listening online this morning and you hear that quote. Forgiveness seems like a wonderful idea until you have someone to forgive. And as we meet Jesus again this morning, I want to take you back nearly 2,000 years ago to Jesus in and around the Sea of Galilee. For some of you that have been tuning in online, and for those of you that have been able to gather these last few weeks, we've been following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Last week we saw that he had the authority and he had the power over nature. And as he's able to bring the storm to a complete cessation, the disciples say, "What sort of a man is this?" And we're skipping ahead a little bit because when Jesus gets to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he's able to cast out demons from two particular men who had been possessed by them. So he gets with the disciples and he now goes back into the boat and he's now going back to Capernaum, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as I've been looking at this passage this week, I've sort of wondered what the disciples thought. getting back into the boat. Just a day or two ago, they had been in the middle of the storm. And some of you who have been in a really difficult car accident or in a serious incident, when you go to do that thing again, you know the anxiety that was sparked in your heart and mind. What must that have been like for the disciples to go, now we're back in the boat, going back in the same sea, which we nearly drowned on just a few days ago. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel so far, has revealed that he has power over nature. He's got power over the demonic. But what about our hearts? Has Jesus got authority over our hearts? So I want you to unpack this little theme with me this morning. And if you're a young person here, I'm sure yet again, the big people that brought you are probably going to give you sweets if you remember some of the things this morning. And I wonder, can you remember these two words with me if you're a young person here this morning? Remarkable forgiveness. When you walk back to your car or house and the big person that brought you, and they say, what was the talk about this morning? And I want you to think about these two words, remarkable forgiveness. So let's look at this story, and we're going to meet a number of characters in this story who are going to have to try and struggle with remarkable forgiveness. And the first group we meet are the expectant friends. It'll appear in the screen behind me. The expectant friends who are seeking forgiveness. So let's read it. It's on the screen behind me for you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat. I wonder, was it the same boat that nearly drowned in the waves? Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. It was probably Capernaum. This was his home base, particularly for his ministry in and around Galilee. But verse 2, some men brought to him a paralytic. Now, some of you have people in your family who struggle with paralysis. From the moment they are born, they are simply unable to walk. And wonderfully, we have a great health service that's able to help folks in our family, our friends, who struggle with paralysis, and they can give them wheelchairs and lots of different things to help them. But in this particular culture and context, if you were born with paralysis, really, you were disdained within the community. In fact, many people thought that you were born with a particular sin issue, or your family had inherited sin, and so you were despised within your community. So I want you to think what this man feels. Probably in his mid to late 20s. Because later in the story, Jesus will call him a son. So Jesus is probably 33. And when he says son, it's probably a man in his mid 20s. This whole life he's been lying on a mat. Maybe his whole life he's been meeting quacks that have rolled into the Sea of Galilee and have made their journey around that sea, and they've stopped in at all the towns and villages and hamlets, and they've declared that they would be able to heal people from their paralysis. One disappointment after another. His whole life, someone says that they're going to be able to heal them and set them free, and nobody's been able to do it. So some men brought to Jesus a paralytic. Who are the men? It's very likely that they were four friends, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this story from slightly different perspectives. And Mark tells us about the four men. And they bring their friend to Jesus. So five men. The man with paralysis and the four men had amazing faith. They've heard about this Jesus who's got authority over nature, who's got authority over the demoniac. But does he have authority over paralysis? Does he have authority ultimately over our hearts? Luke helps us sort of describe this scene. Because you say, why do they bring him to Jesus? Well, there's something different about this Jesus. They've got faith in this Jesus. But Luke tells us that all of the teachers of the law from in and around Galilee and even down in Judea and even in the capital of Jerusalem, all of them have made their way up to Galilee. All of them want to hear what this new rabbi, this new teacher, Jesus has to say. So everybody's hanging on his words. And I want to take you to this village. Capernaum's packed because of Jesus. This house that Jesus is probably in is absolutely full. Like a tin of sardines, packed full. Probably outside this small house, it's packed with people just trying to cling on to the words of Jesus. And so these five men, four of them carrying their one friend, they approach the house, and it seems impossible. So what are they going to do? How are they going to get their friend to Jesus? Well, in those little houses, they were small, but they had a slight slant in the roof. And so in order to get up on the roof, there was normally a little staircase. So Luke tells us that these men go out the staircase and they get onto the roof. And the roof wouldn't have had tiles as we know it today, but there would have been branches that would have been packed in a certain way. And in order to get this man down to see Jesus, they literally go up on the roof and they start to move the branches apart, and maybe the mud that was holding the branches together, they start to dig down into it. And can you imagine being there? Imagine being one of the crowd listening intently to Jesus, and suddenly debris from the roof starts to appear onto your head. It was actually said in this particular culture, this was very commonplace, to get a dead body into a house at a funeral. They would have had to have done that because the house was so packed. But these five men, four men carrying one friend, have this faith, this expectancy that Jesus can forgive sins, that Jesus can heal. Look at what it says. Some men, verse 2, brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. Can you see the scene? These religious teachers of the law from in and around Galilee, and even as far down south as Judea, and even from the capital of Jerusalem, they're no doubt front row seats listening to Jesus, analyzing his every word, and suddenly a man starts to appear, coming down through the roof, being lowered by his friends. Can you imagine the silence that must have descended into that house? What will happen next? What will this young whippersnapper rabbi say next? Look at what he says on the screen behind me. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart." His whole life he probably had been struggling to take heart because he had been despised. He'd been rejected. He'd been a social outcast, and now suddenly Jesus looks probably into his eyes and says, "Take heart, son." But he doesn't say, "Your paralysis is healed." He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That not just only would have stunned this man with paralysis, but it would have stunned everybody in the crowd. Why is Jesus talking about forgiveness? But secondly, we meet another group in the crowd that day. We've already heard about them. But secondly, the egotistical leaders who reject forgiveness. These five men have faith that there's something different about Jesus, and they're seeking Jesus. But we meet this next big group, the egotistical leaders, who are rejecting forgiveness. Look at verse 3. At this, some of the teachers of the law, they said to themselves, "Well, this fellow is blaspheming." To blaspheme would be to use the name of God with great disdain. But one of the most blasphemous things that you could ever have done in that culture was to claim that you actually had the power of God, or that you were actually God himself. To do that, you could have been stoned to death. So the teachers of the law say, "This fellow is blaspheming." And then verse 4, Jesus says, knowing their thoughts. These men don't even have to speak, but Jesus knows what's in their hearts. How does he know this? Well, John chapter 2, verse 23 helps us. It says, Jesus did not need to know what was in a man's heart by what they said, but he instantly knew what was in their hearts because he was God. As Jesus stands in this little house in Capernaum, packed with the religious leaders, packed with some from the village, packed with a village of people outside, and now a man who's been lowered before him, he doesn't need anybody to tell him what's going on in people's hearts. And as you're watching online today, or you're sitting here gathered with us, Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your hearts. He knows if you're watching online at home or sitting here, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, and you're still struggling with your own heart, your own ego, to surrender your life, to surrender your will, to yield to the very fact that the Bible says that we are all sinners and in desperate need of a wonderful Savior like Jesus, and you're struggling with these religious leaders to actually go, am I really that bad that I really need somebody to cleanse me, to wash me, to forgive me? And you, like them, are struggling with your own ego. Or maybe as a Christian, and you've been wonderfully forgiven by Jesus, you're still choosing to withhold forgiveness to some people in your life. Jesus knows what's in our hearts. And Paul the Apostle writes in his letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. For some of us, for many of us, the journey of forgiveness, again, is like the Everest mountain, and to get to the top will probably only come in heaven, but we must start that journey, even at base camp, and make that first step, asking God to give us the power and to give us the wisdom and to give us the grace to be able to forgive. Jesus, verse 4, knowing their thoughts, he said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Now, the great and the good, who were the religious leaders, who've come from everywhere to listen to Jesus, everybody would have known it would have been easier for Jesus just to say to this man, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because the evidence couldn't be corroborated. But for Jesus to be able to heal this man in front of the people in his own town who have known that this young boy was born with paralysis maybe 20 years ago, for him to be able to get up and walk would have shown that this man has the authority and power of God. Because they would have said everyone that was sick or who had an illness was because they were a sinner. So if they were healed, well then they've been cured of their sin. And only God can do that. If Jesus does not heal this man and yet has claimed that he can forgive sins, Jesus should have been taken out of the town and stoned to death if this man was not healed, because Jesus would have then said they've been a false prophet. But Jesus has the authority not just only to heal, but to ultimately forgive sin. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But verse 6, but so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. What would keep you today as someone who doesn't follow Jesus from following him? Will it be your pride? Will it be a fear of man, a fear of others? Some of you might say, well, my past sin is too scandalous. Some of you might say, my present sin that I committed last night or this last week. Don't let these things keep you from Jesus. It didn't stop these four men plus the friend. They wanted to experience this remarkable forgiveness, this remarkable authority of Jesus. And lastly, we meet Jesus. Look at the eager Savior, verse 3 on the screen behind me. He's the eager Savior. The second half of verse 6, then he said to the paralytic, get up. Look at the three things he says to him. Firstly, get up, take your mat, and go home. Now, as we heard earlier, this little village is packed with people. Outside of the house is packed. Inside of the house is packed. And these four men plus the friend can't get into the house, so they've had to go up the stairs and they've had to break in through the roof. The text doesn't say it, but in my imagination, I'm sure it parted like the Red Sea. This man who's been born with paralysis, suddenly, instantly healed before our eyes. Did this man and his four friends look at each other in the eyes going, who is this Jesus? Like the disciples in the middle of the storm, after the storm has passed and Jesus has shown his authority, they say, what sort of a man is this? I've no doubt that as these four men plus the friend, the fifth man, as they go walking and leaping and running home to their part of the village, who is this Jesus? Who has this authority? And the crowd are amazed, verse 7, and the man got up and he went home with a mat under his arm. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Let me challenge you with this as I begin to close. There's a big difference between sitting in church and being a disciple of Jesus. There's a big difference for you watching online at home and being a disciple of Jesus. Because in this day that we're speaking of with Jesus in this story, there were many there gathered at this service to listen to Jesus and his teachings. Those at the front row seats were the religious elite, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, the pastors of the church in those days. But in order to be a disciple, one needs to step out in faith. To take off our ego, to take off our fear, to take off our pride, to take off our self-righteousness and say that there's only one person who can forgive me. There's only one God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can cleanse me from my sin. And you say, what can I do this morning to experience this remarkable forgiveness? Well, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful to forgive. Imagine this. Forgive our sins. Forgive your sin. And cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I want you to take home today, if you are a Christian, and the C.S. Lewis encouraged us at the beginning, everyone thinks forgiveness is a wonderful idea until you have someone to forgive. How can we as a Christian stand with those around the foot of the cross and look up at Jesus as he dies as the only perfect man who has ever died? And as we see the forgiveness that he offers to us, how can we stand at the foot of the cross and not show that same remarkable forgiveness to others? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then William and Mandy are going to come back and play to us. Let's just pause together online or here gathered this morning, just and ask God to pour out his love and forgiveness in our hearts, and that we might have the power to do it with others. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that him who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, we thank you that as we've been reading these stories together over these weeks, that we've had a front row seat seeing his power over nature, his power over the demonic, and his power over illness, but ultimately over sin itself, which reigns in all of our hearts outside of Christ. And Father, I pray for many who are listening today who are not yet a follower of Jesus, that they might see the remarkable forgiveness that is offered through your Son, the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that they might experience his cleansing and his washing away of sin. Father, I pray for many who are Christians gathered here and at home, that as they consider the remarkable forgiveness that they have experienced from Jesus, that they might begin that journey to show that same forgiveness others. Father, would you pour out your Spirit afresh upon us so that we can do this, not in our own strength, but in the power of God the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the name. wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious. Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now. I am lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the
Could I just challenge you once again? Do you know that forgiveness? Have you experienced the worthiness of Christ in your own heart and in your own life? If you'd like someone to speak to today, we'd love to speak to you outside as we keep our social distancing. Or if you're watching online and you would love someone to chat to you about this massive theme of forgiveness and how it can be found through Jesus, we'd love to talk to you. You can find our phone number on our church website, and we'd love to be able to chat with you. So could I ask you all to please stand as we look at the words of the benediction this morning, and it takes us again right forward to what Christ has done for us, both now and for all eternity. So let me read these words to you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and look forward to seeing you next week. If again this side of the church can leave first, that would be wonderful. And if you need to chat to me, I'll be outside, and we can keep our distances and have a chat with each other. It's lovely to see you this morning.